Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Slow Burn Media, Evergreen Podcasts, and Killer Podcast presents Who Killed? A podcast that provides a voice for the voiceless. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Who Killed the Presser of the Week. We are going to go back in time to match up with the Joshua Harmon case, and this is a press conference that was held when the case was eventually solved. So, again, as I like to do, here is the press conference, and I hope you enjoy and garner some information out of what these individuals have to say. Enjoy.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for being here. My name is Tim Lupo. I am the Public Information Officer for the Roswell Police Department. We're here today to announce that an arrest has been made in the investigation into the 1988 murder of 8-year-old Joshua Harmon. Joining us today are members of our command staff, Criminal Investigations Division, as well as agency partners that played a critical role in bringing us to where we are today. So I'll take a moment to introduce who we have with us today. Chief of Police James Conroy. We have Lieutenant Jason Westcott, Detective Zach Kowalski, Detective David Zagan, Officer Jennifer Bennett, Deputy Chief Linnea Rivard, Captain Noah Kaplan, and Detective Sean Thompson. Present from our agency partners as well, we have Executive Director of the CJCC, Jane Neal. Amy Hutzel, Program Director of the Sexual Assault, Child Abuse, and Human Trafficking Unit of the CJCC. Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Lisa Verassi of the GBI. And Chief Deputy of Morgan County, Keith Howard, formerly of the GBI. So we are very pleased as well and honored to have several members of Joshua's family with us today to lend their support and presence as well. I will begin providing an initial summary of the investigation. We will then hear from Roswell Police Chief James Conroy, followed by Assistant Special Agent in Charge Lisa Verassi of the GBI. We will then have comments from members of Joshua's family as well. Chief Conroy will then return to address any questions that you may have related to this case. With that said, I will begin by providing an overview summary of the case in the form of our press release. The Roswell Police Department has made an arrest in the 1988 murder of 8-year-old Joshua Harmon. James Michael Coates, age 56, of the city of Woodstock, was taken into custody July 21st and booked into the Fulton County Jail on multiple charges, including murder. Roswell detectives arrested Coates after DNA evidence collected from the crime scene linked him to the murder. On May 15, 1988, Joshua Harmon was reported missing by his parents after not returning home for dinner. After extensive searches over the following 48 hours, Joshua's body was discovered in a wooded area nearby to the Raintree Way apartment where he lived. Roswell detectives, in partnership with the GBI, investigated the case extensively and collected valuable evidence, but the case went cold. Investigators regularly revisited the case over the intervening years in pursuit of justice for Joshua and his family, and evidence was consistently re-examined to keep pace with evolving leads and advancing technology. In February of this year, with the permission of his family, Joshua's body was exhumed in hopes of identifying further evidence. In March, the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative Task Force, a subset of the Georgia Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, provided the Roswell Police Department with funding to pursue additional DNA testing on evidence from the crime scene. Recently, investigators received the results of that testing performed by an independent laboratory, Cybergenetics Incorporated, which linked Coates to the crime. He was taken into custody without incident on a traffic stop the morning of July 21st. At this time, I will now turn it over to Chief Conroy.
Thank you, Tim. All right, good morning. After 33 years, 2 months, and 6 days, we have made an arrest in the murder of Joshua Harmon. To the Harmon family, this is a tragedy that no family should endure. The death of Joshua and the fact that his killer remained free for such a long time is unimaginable. I hope that this arrest brings your family a sense of closure. I only wish that Josh's mother, Sherry, could be here today. But what I do know is that she is with Joshua, and they're looking down on us, and they are happy with these developments. This arrest was a team effort involving many of our partners. As you heard, the GBI, Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, were instrumental in helping us. The men and women behind me and those who could not be here today deserve to be thanked and commended. These officers, detectives, special agents, attorneys, scientists, retirees never gave up hope in solving this case and bringing Josh's killer to justice. They are truly heroes, and I thank each and every one of you for your dedication and perseverance. Shortly after I was selected to be chief of police for the Roswell Police Department, and before I started, I attended a law enforcement event where I met two retired GBI agents. They pulled me aside, congratulated me on coming to Roswell, and said, when you get there, we want you to pull up the Joshua Harmon case. We want you to look into it. It's a case that haunted them for many years, and they felt that it was still solvable. In my first days at the Roswell Police Department, I met with our Criminal Investigation Division. Detective Kowalski was in there, and he asked me my position on cold case homicides. So being a former homicide investigator myself, I told him I'm supportive in investigating them, and I feel that we owe it to the victims to periodically review these cases and pursue every lead that we can. He then discussed the Joshua Harmon case with me, and I committed that I would provide the needed support, funding, and resources to investigate this case. DNA is an expensive proposition, and I was able to reach out to some of our partners at the GBI and the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council to help cover some of those expenses and provide assistance as needed. With the assistance of our partners, we were able to secure the evidence needed to file charges in this case. In a moment, we're going to take some questions, and as you can imagine, this is a very complex case. We still have a lot of work to do. As such, we will not jeopardize the prosecution by discussing specific details of the investigation or specific evidence involved. We will happily take any questions and remind you that this case will be tried in the court of law and justice will be served. I would like to invite up a representative from the GBI to speak. Lisa, if you want to come up.
My name is Lisa Verassi, and I'm an assistant special agent in charge of the Atlanta Regional Office of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. On behalf of the GBI, I want to thank the Roswell Police Department for requesting our assistance with the investigation into the brutal killing of an 8-year-old boy who loved ice cream and playing outside with his friends. Beginning over 33 years ago and until today, the GBI and the Roswell Police Department worked together and expended thousands of hours investigating this crime. Over the years, this case has been touched by many extremely talented agents, detectives, and crime lab scientists to get where we are today. All of these people had one thing in common. They would not stop at anything until justice was brought for Joshua. To solve this case required grit, determination, and perseverance from all involved. There were countless roadblocks, dead ends, and obstacles that had to be overcome. Blood, sweat, and tears were shed to get to this point. This investigation is one that haunts an investigator and the kind of case that keeps detectives and agents up at night. Our hope is that this arrest is the beginning of healing for his loved ones who have lived the nightmare since Sunday, May 15th, 1988. The Roswell Police Department is a first-class agency and should be commended for never giving up on this case. The men and women of the GBI are honored to have a great relationship with the fine men and women of the Roswell Police Department, who literally stopped at nothing to bring justice to a little boy, which none of us will ever forget. Thank you.
I will now invite anybody from Joshua's family that would like to come up and provide a statement.
Feel free to introduce yourself as well.
Hi, my name is Marlene Carlisle. I am Sherry Harmon's sister and Joshua's aunt. I want to speak on behalf of our family and thank these amazing people who have worked diligently and very hard and always took anything and everything we had to say to heart and ran with it. And these bulldogs that got through everything and worked for 33 years to solve this for our family, we are forever indebted to all of you. You're amazing people, and every one of you have big, beautiful hearts. And our family has been through this for 33 years, and to be able to be relieved of this, it's bittersweet for us. We wish Sherry could be here, but we also feel that she and Josh high-fived and said, we're going to help and we're going to get everybody through this, and helped these ladies and gentlemen come to this conclusion. Thank you, everybody. Josh was an amazing young boy who had an uncanny relationship with nature and with God. So I know where he is, and I know he's at peace. And my sister never gave up, ever gave up. She kept going. She made that phone call every few years to the point of probably bothering some people, but she was willing and able to do it. And I know she's smiling down on everybody here today, and thanks you all so much. And on behalf, again, of our family, we love you, and we thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your strength, resiliency, and trust for being with us today. Chief Conroy will now return to address any questions Joe may have. Thank you, Tim.
Quick question. If this guy did this to Joshua, how do you guys know that in 33 years he didn't do this to another kid?
So how do we know he didn't do this to another kid? That, of course, will be part of our ongoing investigation. As I mentioned, we do have a lot of work to do. We do partner with the GBI to where they will compare DNA samples in the CODIS database for any open cases that are still out there.
Chief,
yes, ma'am.
I know this brings a lot closer to the family. Question, was there any evidence that was compromised or destroyed by any of the investigating agencies?
So I've heard comments about it, but I don't know firsthand of that, no.
Okay. Chief, can you talk about some of the challenges with this case? I remember the special agent wanted to mention that. She said it was very challenging, a lot of roadblocks. What were some of the challenges?
You know, one, anytime that you work on a cold case investigation, there's many challenges you can't even imagine. Right before I came out here, I did a little bit of math, so Detective Kowalski, who was instrumental in this case, was not even born when this incident occurred. You have many retirees, many people who worked on this case that are now retired or have since passed away. Evidence, finding evidence merely from cases that old is very difficult. There's a lot of challenges, and that's why I say we have a lot of hard work to do. We've been in heavy contact with the district attorney's office, because getting the evidence to make an arrest is one thing, but then getting enough evidence and presenting that in a court of law to get a conviction is another thing entirely.
And just speak on that. I mean, with age and time, people forget certain parts of the story. How miraculous is this that you guys were able to kind of get this thing finally to come together?
So to make to be able to close a cold case is a very rare feat. In my career, I can think of one at DeKalb that we had that was a cold case, and in this case here at Roswell is the only two that I'm familiar that I've worked on. I have had cases where we've made arrests and they went to trial perhaps 25 years later, but by that point we had already had warrants in place and knew who we were charging. So it's vastly different to go back and investigate. But when you have advances in technology such as DNA, which was instrumental in this case, we have to periodically review that. You know, when this occurred in the late 80s, DNA was not a very common thing. And as DNA evolves, then we must continually go and reevaluate all the cases we have and the evidence that we have. And as I mentioned, it is a very expensive proposition. So we do have to reach out to our partners at the CJCC and the GBI and these private labs in order to get this information processed in a timely manner.
Now, who spoke with the family? When you guys finally broke this case, I don't know which one of you guys were up there. When you, after so many years, I know she spoke about her sister would call every now and then. And then originally you're like, hey, there's nothing going on, we're still, and then finally be able to go, hey, we have something. How rewarding is that? And that mountain that comes off the family shoulder, just knowing what.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn around and see, is there somebody who used to work on the case that would like to come up and talk a little bit about your history? Because I saw their reunification with the family of somebody who worked on this long ago. Detective Bennett, I know, was working with Sherry quite a bit on this investigation. But come on up and tell.
So from my perspective, it's very emotional. It's like a marriage, having a child. It's really hard to put into words the emotion and the feeling you feel. Certainly there's simply for the family, they have the lost one. This case was about Joshua. I mean, this case was about him being the victim. Everyone I met throughout my involvement in this, which was over 20 years, was always passionate about making sure they solved this case. Sherry was the catalyst for that. Yes, my involvement was generated by the fact that she wrote a letter to then director Buddy Nix. He was the new director at the time, and she was asking him to please look into this case. Mr. Nix came to me and asked me to look at that from a cold case perspective. So having lived through that emotion of talking to Sherry at the time, sharing emails through the years, absolutely. I didn't know the family as well as the rest of them here that lived in Roswell, but certainly those emotions to me are miraculous is the word you used, and that's probably the word I would use to say bringing this case together is a miraculous feat. And I don't disagree. I think that the blessing in this is, the glory to God, Sherry, Joshua, reunited, I do believe that they're the ones that said, let's get this thing started, and they brought the evidence forward that we were able to use in this case. So.
Read your first and last name.
Keith Howard. Thank you.
Title? You have a title, Mr. Howard?
Yes, sir. I'm the Chief Deputy of Morgan County.
Are you able to say at all kind of how he was able to even be with Joshua? Was he kidnapped? I looked at the list of charges. How did that even happen when he was with the suspect?
Yeah, and that's some of the evidence that I don't want to get into just so we don't jeopardize the prosecution in this case.
Chief, can you tell us the tips that led you all to Coates, and can you confirm if he was arrested while on the back maneuver?
So I'm going to defer to our detectives. Again, I don't want to give many details, but do we want to give any of the details of the arrest? Yeah, so my understanding, yes, when we arrested him, he was a passenger in an Uber. And we had arrest warrants prior to that traffic stop.
Another hard question, just real quick. Was he known to the family at all? I mean, just because I'm looking at his pictures, he's a little older gentleman. I don't know if there was any connection or... Because back in those days, it was a little different, and you really didn't, you know what I mean? But now, times are different, but was there any connection between him and the family before? Was that kind of getting to the person?
Yes, there was. So the family did live in the same apartment complex at the time. They may not have actually known his name, but kind of knew who he was. Lieutenant Jason Westcott.
Anything else? All right. Again, I appreciate you coming out here. We have indicated that the family did not want to speak. Is that still the case with reporters afterwards? Okay, so we ask you please respect their privacy as we go through this. There is still a lot of work to do. It is a long road, prosecution. And, you know, that's stuff that is difficult on the family, so I appreciate you honoring that request. So thank you. One more.
Last message. What is your message to the community that might be going through some of this? And not to give up, always keep it. What would be your message to them?
Yeah, and I think the message is law enforcement agencies across the country, this is an example of many officers, detectives, scientists who did not give up. They will not give up. We do have a number of cold case homicides here in Roswell that we are continually evaluating and testing, and we do work on those. But when you get into this profession, you get into this profession to help people. And when you have something as tragic as the kidnapping and murder of an eight-year-old, that locks into your heart, and that's something you don't want to give up. When you look at the timing, and I talked about, you know, Zach wasn't even born yet when this happened. Probably 85% of my police department was not born when this happened. When this happened, I was not a police officer. I was in college. So since then, I've worked a 30-year career and retired, come to another department and continued before this arrest was made. So this shows you that the police officers are not going to stop. We will continue until justice is done.
Thank you, as always, for tuning in to this week's episode of Who Killed the Presser of the Week. Again, this was the Josh Harmon case, and we are going to play a press conference about the Madeline Soto case as well, because that has seen some resolution this week, and as we get more information, we will probably provide a full episode on that case. So again, thanks for listening. As always, until next time, stay healthy and be safe.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. You might be surprised to know that not all serial killers are straight, cisgender white men. And the victims of true crime are not a monolith either. She's Wendy and I'm Beth, and together we host Fruit Loop's Serial Killers of Color, a true crime podcast.
Together we take deep dives into the true crime stories about marginalized and minoritized perps and victims that often go untold.
We also provide the context and nuance that these stories deserve. At Fruit Loops, we're serving up true crime with a side of history, society, culture, and some fun.
Listen to Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.